I'm Roger Watson, and I'm glad to be here. Tim's on vacation, and so he has allowed me to grace the pulpit, and I thought it would be good today to let my wife join me today, because I was talking to someone out front, and I said, she makes me look good, doesn't she? Yeah. However, that elder I was talking to, he said, hey, I've heard you speak, and I've heard her speak. She's going to make you look bad. So we need to pray for me this morning, huh? Why don't we just pause for a second as the baskets are being passed. Father God, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you would have for us today. We want to receive from the throne room of God. So we pray, Lord God, that the words that are spoken and the attitude of the heart in which it's portrayed would glorify you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, we're in a series on sex in high definition. We want to continue to talk about that. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim talked about the difference between boundaries and barriers in the sexual experience. And last week, Andrew talked about the physical and the effect upon the spiritual. And this morning, I would like to kind of dovetail off of that. I would like to expound upon that just a little bit more. And I want to talk in regards to how the enemy gets inroads into our lives and the bondages that are placed there. Do you know, as a family therapist, when people come in, there's usually three areas they are having problems in or want to talk about. The majority, it's either finances, sex, or communication. Those are the three biggies. Last month, we talked about finances. This month, we are talking about sex. Okay, sex in high def, sex the way God intended it to be. But the enemy wants to take that which was created by God that is good and distort it and make it into something not so good. And so we want to talk today, how does the enemy take that and gain inroads into a different realm? Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. If you don't have that, you can follow along on the PowerPoint. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So if you have a temptation, it is not from God. Okay? But he says, each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. It's your lust that becomes the temptation, okay? And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It's almost like a birthing process here. There's something that happens in the physical realm, comes into the soulish realm, it gives birth, and then what's the result? Death. We want to talk about that this morning, and I want to show you a way in which it helps me to describe it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And he makes a distinction here. He says, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes a distinction between these three facets of our life, body, soul, and spirit. We want to focus a little bit more on the soulish realm. He says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. He says the word of God, what makes a distinction there in the soul and the spirit. It's not the same thing, okay? As of the both the joints and the marrow, and he's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so if you have your notes inside there, there's three circles that are there, okay? God created us three parts, okay? There are some little lines that are on this thing here, so that's the notes. That's the fill in the blank. It's not this way, it's this way. He says he created us body, soul, and spirit. The word for body in the Greek is the word soma. If you were to go to the doctor and complain of a headache or an arm ache or a stomach ache or a leg ache, some physical ache, the doctor would probably write in your chart that the patient has somatic complaints. He would use that word. It means this outer shell, this body, this physical thing out here, okay? The Greek word for soul is the word psyche. It's where we get the word psychology from. Psychology is the study of the soul. For those of you who don't think that psychology is a biblical term, there it is, right there. Okay? In God's Word. Have you ever heard of psychosomatic illnesses? Any of you ever heard that term, psychosomatic? Okay, a lot of people think a psychosomatic illness is not a real thing. It's just something that's in your head, okay? It's not real. That is not so. Do you know that you can worry yourself into ulcers? Those ulcers are very real, and they're psychosomatic. They began in the soulish realm, and now they're affecting the physical. Do you know that you can anxietize yourself into a heart attack? That heart attack is psychosomatic, oftentimes, okay? It started here and is now affecting here, okay? The Greek word there for spirit is the word pneuma. Pneumatology is the study of heavenly beings or spiritual entities, okay? Now, there are inroads into the physical body, okay? Now, they're going to put that up on the PowerPoint, but they tell me the words are too small. I can't see them, okay? So if you're taking notes, you need to pay attention right here. The inroads into the physical are your senses, okay? Your senses. Sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. Those are the inroads into the physical realm. The doorways, the gateways into your soul are your thoughts, your feelings, your memory, your imagination, and your conscience. The doorway into your spirit is your will. Do you know that God gave you a free will? Nothing goes in and out of that spiritual realm unless you allow it to. God gave us each a free will. Now, this is what the enemy of your soul does, okay? He creates all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, all kinds of people, all kinds of things in your life. All hell breaks loose in your life. Now, we are going to be talking today about, especially for men and how men are wired, okay? Ladies, that doesn't mean you can check out and go for coffee, because it does have application to you as well, but we're going to tie it specifically into men. Next week, we'll talk about women, okay? This week, we're talking about men. And this is what the enemy of your soul does, guys. He creates things in your world, and it comes through, oftentimes for men, this sight gate right here. Men are often more likely stimulated by the things that they see. And then that goes through the thought gate or through the imagination gate. And what the enemy of your soul wants to do is to cloud this soulish realm with all kinds of fears, all kinds of anger, all kinds of issues, all kinds of depression, anxiety, frustration, irritability. He wants to cloud that soulish realm so that you close that gate off. Because he knows, I can't take your salvation from you, but the next best thing is to render you ineffective. What can I do in your life to get you to shut up so that you don't share the hope that lies within you with anyone else? Because Satan knows, I can't take your salvation, but I sure don't want you to share that hope with anyone else. So I'm going to get you in bondage in that soulish realm. And how does he do that? Guys, let me tell you something. In Proverbs, it says, let your wife's breasts satisfy you. Men, if you are looking at that magazine, if you are looking at that website, at somebody else, you are outside the will of God and you are compromising your walk with God, and it is going to cloud that soulish realm. And we're going to look at what the outcome of that is. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Do you know how much of a bondage that is? Well, it's not hurting anyone. It's just a picture. Well, let me tell you something. Not only is it hurting you because it's clouding that soulless realm and affecting your spirit, but it's also affecting your wife. It's also affecting your children. Do you know how many men I have worked with that have come in that have bondages in the sexual realm because they got into dad's stuff? The dad didn't think that the kids knew where it was, or they went to visit somebody who got into dad's stuff. And now it begins to affect the kids. But let me tell you something. If you compromise in that realm, it's going to affect the church of God. But the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to give in to that. I want you, it's okay. Everybody does it. That's the way men are. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the way godly men are. But you want to know something? In this church right here, we are going to be doing a group soon on 9/11. I think that's real appropriate. The date in which we were attacked as a nation, you know, the enemy is attacking men in this realm. I think it's real appropriate. On Tuesday nights, we are going to be doing a support group for men called Every Man's Battle. Stephen Arterburn makes a comment in here. He says, you know, in our workings, 10% of all men have a major sexual addiction. 10% have a major sexual addiction. They are looking at stuff and they can't get away from it. He says 10% of the men don't have any addiction to that at all. They don't have a problem with that. They don't have an issue. 80%, he say, live in the gray area. Let me tell you something. That's right where Satan wants to keep you, in the gray area, because then you are laying down a track. You are laying down. You're giving into that lust. That lust will conceive itself. It's going to have a gestation period, and it's going to bring forth sin and death, death in the spiritual realm. Satan wants you to compromise in that area. It's okay. That's the way men are. God created us that way. Do you want to know something? Do you know when you start looking at those pictures, there's a concept called imprinting. Men, when you look at that, there's epinephrine that's secreted into your system. Okay? It gives you that good feeling. That thing will imprint that in your mind, and now it's stuck there. And the enemy wants to keep that there because it's going to render you ineffective in the kingdom of God. I don't want you to share the hope that lies within you with anyone else. And so what does he do in the church? Let's keep these men in bondage. Get you focused on that stuff out there, coming through these gateways. Men comes through the sight gate. Ladies, you know what often happens with you? Comes through the hearing gate. And then goes through the thought or feelings gate. You know what I found in working with people? Young people. Men know what to say to get what they want. Men, especially young men, they have this way, this uncanny ability to look at this woman and kind of decipher where she is, find out where her weak place is, and just say the right thing to melt her heart. Do you know why we have a bed up here? It's an object lesson, because that's where that man wants to get you, is in that bed. And we chuckle about that, but let me tell you something. Young men, that's where they want to get you, and they know what to say. Do you know what I found with women? They know what to do to get what they want. And women don't want sex most of the time. They want intimacy. I want emotional closeness. And if it means giving myself physically, sexually, that's what I'll do. That isn't what they want, but they will do that, and they'll give in to that because they want the emotional intimacy. We're focusing on men this morning, okay? Guys, the enemy of your soul, in this room right here, if David Arterburn is right, 90% of you are battling in that realm. What are you going to do about it, guys? And God won't violate your will. You have to choose to make a difference. You've got to choose. You know, we've been singing this morning that there is freedom in Christ Jesus. There is. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot overcome, but you got to choose to appropriate the blood of Jesus. It comes down to your will. What goes in that spirit, what goes out of that spirit, is determined by what you choose. I've asked my wife, Donnie, if she would speak just a little bit more about this soulish realm and the bondages that happen in the soulish realm. Donnie?
Well, you know, I have a background in drama, and that's why I have such a strong passion about the sight gate for all of us, because what an actor and what a director asks actors to portray on TV, in movies, wherever, on the theater stage, is very, very powerful. Roger talked about the imprinting that it does upon soul. You know, it says, there's an old saying, it says, a picture is worth a thousand words. When you watch a movie, when you watch TV, when you go to a theater production, when you look at things on the internet, And it's a moving picture, a living picture. If a picture's worth 1,000 words, how many more words is that imprinting upon you and your soul? Our visual world, 100 years ago, we were thinking about 90% of men struggle in the area of sexual addiction. But when you look at our world, you can understand why. We've gone from going to concerts and just listening out in the green to an orchestra play to watching music videos where it's all acted out for you. We've gone from listening to the radio or reading the newspaper to hear what our politicians have to say and why we want to vote for them. And now we see these finely brushed men, and they all look so impressive. They dress in just the right suit. Their makeup's just the right way. Well, yes, they wear makeup. And they have people around them telling them just how to act and twist the way they behave when they give their speeches so that you'll like them better. You know, I want to challenge you. Close your eyes and listen to what they say. Don't look at them, but think about what they're saying. What has happened in our world is our entertainment mediums have taken us from people that listen and think first to people that look and respond out of impulse first. We want to slow down. Our commercial, our advertisers, boy, they know that. They know how powerful this eye gate, the sight gate is. When I was taking commercial workshops because I wanted to get in commercial work, I was amazed. They had what they called for these hamburger companies. We have so many of them in town that sell hamburgers. They had what they called hamburger dressers. And you know what those hamburger dressers did? When they made a commercial, they pulled out and they made a hamburger that looked amazing. The lettuce was crisp. The reddest, juiciest tomatoes. There was mayonnaise dripping, kind of just ever so slightly from the side, just tempting you to want to eat it. The hamburger was plump and juicy. How many times have you ever been to a hamburger place and it's really looked like what you saw on TV? Well, these people get paid big money to make those hamburgers look so wonderful. And let me tell you what I was taught in my commercial workshop. This is no joke what they told us. You got to hold that product up next to your face and act like you're making love to it. Come on, folks, but let me tell you. How many of our fast food restaurants, and there's one in particular, that every time you watch one of their commercials, there is something sexual in the commercial. The woman is eating the hamburger very sensually, and it drips down on her blouse, and you're just going, come on, folks, what are we selling? But you remember that, and it does imprint on people's souls. So I just wanted to set that up a bit. So if it was hard in biblical, way back when the Bible was written to resist, we have even more things today because we're a very visually driven society. So it even is more of a challenge, but there is a way. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, and one of our favorite characters from the Old Testament, David, who was the man after God's own heart. Remember, he was the man after God's own heart. He worshiped the Lord in spirit and truth. He had a special connection with the Father. But even David fell to the sight gate. And let's go to 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5, and read with me. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David rose from his bed. He couldn't sleep that night for some reason. He walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanliness, she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, "I am pregnant." Okay, David was not where he should have been. Where does it say the king should have been? The kings, it was a time when kings were supposed to be with their troops in battle. He was where he shouldn't have been. David was alone because everybody was there. His chief men, his counselors, had gone with the army. He had no accountability. David looked. Now, he could have just glanced, but he continued to look, and he looked where he shouldn't have looked. And then David fantasized about what he saw. He began to think about how beautiful, said she was very beautiful. Then David acted on what he had seen and thought. And then David saw consequences. She was pregnant. You know, it could have stopped there. David could have owned up to what his sin and confessed the Lord and said, "Please forgive me, Father. What should I do now?" But David tried to cover his sin. He took poor Uriah, her husband, put him out on the front lines. And what happened? He was on the front lines. If you're on the front lines in Iraq, it is very easy to get hit by a bullet. Well, Uriah was right out there, and he got hit and killed. So for all intents and purposes, David planned his murder. Then it went on from there. After he confessed his sin, finally Nathan came to him, Nathan the prophet, and told him a story. And David said, "Oh, that man's wrong." And Nathan looked at him and said, "You're that man that I've just told you the story about." And David confessed his sin only after he'd gotten caught. And guess what happened? He ended up marrying Bathsheba, but the baby they conceived died. But what was even worse, a negative generational inheritance had begun. Later on, in future years, David's son went up on the roof, and where David had sinned in secret, his son took David's concubines and had relations with them on top of the roof, where the whole nation knew what was going on. So what David did in secret, his son did where everybody could see. So he created something. Well, let me tell you how you can guard the eye gate. First of all, David went where he shouldn't have been. He was where he shouldn't have been. Don't go where you'll be tempted. Don't go where you'll be tempted. Let's look in Proverbs. Now, I want to tell you, this little scripture is about a place in town where there's a certain type of women hang out. And this man in Proverbs was hanging out where these women hung out. And behold, a woman comes to meet him dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. "Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For the man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey, and he has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon he will come home, and with her many persuasions she entices him. With her flattering lips she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life." This man was hanging out in the wrong part of town. Where are you hanging out? Are you hanging out on a computer too long and looking at websites that you shouldn't be? Hey, if that thing is causing you to sin, if it's opening a door to your eye gate that you shouldn't be at, get rid of the internet. You may think you need it, but you know what? Get rid of it if it's causing you to stumble. If going certain places in town or watching certain movies or watching certain TV shows are drawing you to sin, don't watch them. Don't go where you shouldn't be going. Number two, you need to have an accountability partner. It said David was alone. He had nobody there to account to, nobody to question what he was doing. So let's read in Ecclesiastes. "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls, and there's no one to lift him." David had no one to lift him. "Furthermore, if two lie down together to keep warm, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him." You can resist the devil together. "Cords of three strands are not quickly torn apart." This group that Roger's talking about is a good place to have an accountability, not just partner, but an accountability group, where you can have a group of men who'll stand with you to resist going where you shouldn't be. Number three, learn to look away and walk away. David looked, but he continued to look and saw she was very beautiful. Flee immorality. Flee there means run. You don't just stroll away. I mean, you run. You run like it is the worst thing you ever see in your life. Something that terrifies you. You should run like lightning away. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Learn to look away. You know, as we were raising our son David, one of the things that we taught him when he was very little was to be careful how he looked at women. And what we taught him was this, that those women are just not just pretty pictures up on a wall that are fun to look at, but they are somebody's future wife, and they could be somebody's sister, but they are definitely somebody's daughter. And that you're sinning against that person's daughter, sister, or a future wife of some other man. And I was so impressed, still to this day, if we are in a store and we're in the checkout stand. Used to be when he was little and he couldn't reach it, he'd say, "Mom, would you turn the magazines over for me so I can stand up there with you?" Because there are certain magazines that, you know, they try to appeal again. The advertisers try to appeal to the eye. We'd turn them over. And still to this day, if he sees that there's one there, he'll just turn it over. So it's not an offense for him. So learn to look away. Number four, fill your mind with the Word of God. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." That's what we're talking about, this world system. I want you to look. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." And then the fifth thing, which is very important, and it's not on here, but I want you to write it down, men. You've got to have a plan. You know where you're weak. You know where your weaknesses are. Plan for those things. Those times are going to come. What are you going to do? Just like we did with David. He made a plan that when he got up to the counter, if there were magazines there that he shouldn't look at, our son would turn them over. Have a plan. And then what you ought to also do, make a plan of escape, but also know your weaknesses and make a list of the possible consequences if you follow an impulse to follow your weaknesses. Make a list of what those consequences be. Boy, there's an old saying that says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That basically means it's so much harder to take care of later. Don't go down that path. Prevent yourself from going down that path. Well, Roger's going to be, we're going to talk about soul ties right now. It says the ties that bind. He was talking about that there are things that go on. And let's read about what a soul tie is. First, let me read to you a definition. A soul tie is a covenant relationship with another person based on emotional or sexual relationship. You know, we've talked about this so many times. Sexual relations were meant by God. They were supposed to be a pleasurable experience between a husband and a wife. But in a sexual relationship, no matter who you have it with, there is a bonding that goes on. There is an exchanging. You know, it says a lot of times that we can catch STDs from having sex, unsafe sex. But, you know, we can catch more than STDs. Genesis 2:22 through 24 tells us that the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That word cleave is a very interesting word. It means that the two have merged together and have so adhered together that they've become like the same person. They're no longer referred to as two, but one. And where it says one flesh, the two have become one flesh, it means like having the same DNA. You've now got the same makeup. And the root word for one flesh goes back to being only one messenger. So if that sexual act causes you to be merged with that other person, we want to give you a visual picture of what, where in marriage it's a godly soul tie, in outside of marriage it's an ungodly soul tie. Roger, why don't you stand up? And ushers, could you come forward? We're going to talk about how these soul ties that you have with other people. Why don't you go grab that? We did this in the first service, so we've kind of doing a little bit different. we're going to put a rope. Roger is Herbie in this. He's Mr. Herbie. And our ushers are coming forward because they...
How do I get it off?
Okay. Well, got a little bit of... Here it is. Okay. What we're going to do is Roger is going to tie a rope. And as Herbie, the rope that is around his waist represents his soul. And what has happened in his soul is he has joined himself to, Herbie's joined himself to numerous partners. And these numerous partners each kind of have like a link to him.
There we go.
Roger's going to tie this around him. This is his soul. Just hold it there, Roger. Okay, and each of the ushers represent a person that this that Herbie has had a relationship with. And though maybe he didn't get STDs, something did happen. Okay, Herbie wants to move forward in his life. He wants to move forward with the Lord. So watch what happens when he tries to move forward in the Lord. He's bound to a lot of other people. And think about it. Keep holding on, guys. If each of these people, now chances are they've had relationships with other people also. So they've got people pulling on them. What happens to Herbie? Herbie gets stuck. Herbie gets stuck. So negative soul ties restrict us.
That's
good. Thank you. So look at me. Negative soul ties restrict our forward progress in the Lord. I wanted to give you a visual picture of that. And then, Roger, the other thing, as Herbie, poor Herbie, we're really going to beat him up. These people that Herbie has had relationships with have their own set of stuff, and we call that baggage. Baggage. Well, this person, he had a relationship with this one person who had an anger problem, a lot of anger, nice and heavy. Then he had, Herbie had relations with a person that has, you know, a lust addiction. Oh, my goodness. This person that Herbie had a relationship with, they had multiple personalities, all kinds of stuff. This person was abusive, and this person liked to shoplift, and this person was addicted, have addictive personality, there you go. Poor Herbie. You know, Herbie... You know, don't we have, it says in the Bible, that we each have our own set of things that we have to deal with.
Can I let this stuff go?
Huh? No, okay? just hold on to it. You've got to hold on to it because we're still making a point. There, Herbie. Because Herbie has joined himself. He's opened himself up to these other partners' baggage. Because he's joined himself with them. And, you know, what did we say? Those people have probably had relationships with other people. So he's opened himself up to their baggage and the people's that they've had relationships baggage. Think about that. And then think about it. He meets a nice girl, Herbie does, and he brings this into the relationship. It's kind of like when they go to their marriage bed, he's got the whole crew with them. Is that what we want to give our spouses? A whole crew of baggage? Not this kind of negative baggage. Thank you, Roger. So the negative soul ties weigh us down and slow us down. You know, there was a Samson and Delilah. I don't know if you've ever known people who are in relationships and you wonder why in the world do they stay with that person? Samson and Delilah, He looked at her and thought she was real cute, thought she was hot. So he went to be with her and had relations with her. And I, when you read that story in Judges 16, I looked at it for so many years and go, why did he stay with her? How many times did she try to set him up to be killed by the Philistines? They'd come running in and he'd go, surprise, that wasn't how I lost my strength. And he took care of him, knocked him out. But it was obvious that she was trying to destroy him and sell him out. But you know what? There was a soul tie there. He was addicted to her in a way. He was addicted. He was tied to her in the soulish realm. So try as he might, he'd already had a sexual addiction in his life. He was very addicted sexually. But when he was stuck with her, he could not get away. And you know what ended up happening to him? It says, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He would destroy himself who does it. Eventually, Samson was destroyed by that relationship because they finally did find him at a time of weakness because of her. He was put in bondage, and in his last act to deliver his countrymen, he was destroyed. But if he had not followed that path, he would have not probably been destroyed like that.
You might say, well, I'm not as bad as Roger. At least I don't have that many partners. Do you know, it doesn't have to be the physical act, and some of us have been sexually active outside of marriage. Let me tell you something. When you do that, you are compromising God's best. You are compromising your walk with the Lord. But do you know that Jesus said, if you just look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Do you understand how destructive those magazines are? Do you understand how destructive those websites can be? If you just look, and it's the inroad that the enemy is looking for. So how do we get that freedom? How do we gain the freedom? We need to focus on the inside out. Do you know, it all comes down to where your focus is. Do you know the Bible in Romans says if you focus on things above, if you focus in the spiritual realm, you get life and peace. If you focus on the worldly realm, it says you're going to get death and destruction. The key is, where is your focus? What are you focusing upon? The world will try to get you to focus out here and say that it's okay, everyone does it. God wants you to stay focused on who you are in Christ. Do you know that you can tell by the actions in a person's life where their focus is? You can tell by the fruit that's manifest in their life where their focus is. In Galatians chapter 5, it says that if you are focused, 5:22 and 23, it says if you are focused on the Spirit, what you're going to see in that person's life is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control is what you are going to see manifest in their life. But he says, if you are focused on the world, do you know what you're going to get? People don't look at the verses, the two verses just before that. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is the fruit of the flesh when you're focused there. He says you're going to get immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery. Wow, at least I haven't done those things. Some of us are saying it's not that bad. Well, here's some of the other fruit. Where's your focus? Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Boy, some of you had your eyes focused on the world when you're on your way to church this morning, huh? You can tell where a person's focus is by the fruit that is manifest in their lives. You know, when people come in for counseling and they are fighting and arguing and bickering with one another, you know why? Because they're not focused on who they are in Christ. They're focused on what I get and what I should be getting. Or you can have envying and drunkenness and carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, lest I get some emails, okay, I didn't say that. That is out of the Word of God. He says, if you practice those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Church, we got to wake up. This is a real bondage in the church. Men, if Arterburn is right, 90% of us are battling in this area. What are we going to do about that? Why do we have these groups? They are support groups. They are here to help us to hold one another accountable to get out of that bondage. What are we going to do? How are we going to break loose of this? We need to guard the doorways of our body, soul, and spirit with the Word of God. Church, the Word of God. Do you know how powerful the Word of God is? In James 1, 21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness. You got to choose to engage. It's your will. You have to choose to put this filthiness aside. Or you can choose to hold on to it and stay in bondage. But I'm telling you, if you practice those things, it will deaden your soul and it will affect, and the ultimate will be death to your spirit. Do you hear me, church? This is a major issue that we have got to address. You want to know how to have sex in high definition? Get your eyes in the right place. Stay focused on who you are in Christ. Put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. That word save there, the Greek word is sozo. It means to protect. Do you know that the word of God will protect your soul? It is real hard to be fantasizing on sexual things and meditating on the Word of God. How many of you are memorizing large portions of the Scripture, putting it to memory? Guys, if you join us in this group, we are going to memorize Romans chapter 6. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We're going to memorize that chapter. But you got to choose. You got to want it. Nobody's going to violate that. Not even God Himself will violate your will. You have to choose it. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Which ones are outside of every thought? Which ones are not included in every thought? Well, every man does it. Every thought. Take every thought obedient to Christ. Let the word of Christ in Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. And whatever you do in word or deed, in whatever you do, do all. What's outside of all? Everything, every word, what's outside of that? Where's the exception? Where's the clause, the escape clause? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. If we could be real honest this morning and we could put up on the screen what you guys have been thinking about this week, would it be okay? What you've been focusing on this week, those wet... Do you know, we aren't even to give the impression of things evil. I thought about bringing a TV program and putting one little thing up on... Because they, a lot of times in the TV, they don't show the sexual act. They just leave it up to your imagination. That's one of the gates. That's one of the doorways into your soul. They just leave it up to your imagination. If you are watching that stuff and it starts to go down that realm, you better walk away from that. You better, as Donnie said, run from that. Because if you continue to give in to that, it's going to lay down a habit pattern, a thought pattern, an emotional rut. Do you know what that is? A rut, a mental way. Donnie and I, sometime back, were flying over the Sierra Nevadas, okay? They have the snow-capped mountains on the top. Right below the snow line, they have these ravines, these ruts, okay? These ruts are dug when the snow melts, okay? The water runs that way, and it's run that way for hundreds and thousands of years, and it's dug these ruts. It's a ravine. Do you know that your thoughts and your emotions are like that? You can give in and start watching that stuff and looking at that stuff, and it digs a rut. It digs a ravine in your thought life, and it's going to run down that rut. Do you know that you can, by the blood of Jesus and the word of God, you can build and redirect that energy to the way it needs to go. You can build a dam. But let me tell you something, church. If you let water over the dam, you know where it's going to go? Right down that rut that's always been there, that you allowed to be dug into your life. What kind of thought ruts do you have going on in your life? What kind of emotional ruts have been dug in your life? You break that by the word of God. You put a gate there. You close the gateways by the word of God. I want to close with a scripture out of Proverbs chapter 2. He says, God stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. If you choose to be a man or a woman of God, if you choose to walk in integrity, he says that he is going to be a shield around about you. But if you just continue, well, they all men do that. Okay? You give in to that bondage, and God says he won't be a shield around about you. Why is it that God doesn't hear my prayers? Why is it that I'm going through this? God says, I won't be a shield if you're going to continue to go down that route. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the path of justice, and he preserves the way of godly ones. And then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The wisdom that God gives will minister to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of the evil one. If you will take the word of God, put it as a guard against the inroads of the enemy, he says, I will be a shield. I will be a guard. I will keep you. But man, if you continue to go down that road and you continue to entertain those thoughts and you continue to look at that stuff, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. And it will not only affect you, because it leads to eventual death. By death, I mean spiritual death, separation from God. But it's going to affect your family, and it's going to affect the church. As I closed the service, in the last service, someone came up and said, so what do we do if we've already got those bondages, those soul ties already attached? You need to renounce those bondages. You need to speak out and renounce the connection that the enemy, the license that the enemy feels like he has in your life. You've got to speak that. I'm going to ask our prayer team if they would come up. And some of you need to come and renounce some of the bondages that have gone on in your life, not just men, but women, and ask God to sever that. But it takes an act of your will. That's a humbling thing to do. Men, it is hard to say at guest services, sign me up for that porno group. Okay? Not going to want to do that. We are trying to make it so that no one here in the church will have to know that you're in that group. You don't need to go to guest services. If you want to come and participate in this support group to help you get over this addiction, this bondage to pornography, we are setting this group up. You can go to the church webpage. Go to roger@kcfchurch.org. I'll be the only one that knows you signed up. Or you can go to my email at my counseling center, roger@kingscounseling.com. If you will sign up in that way, no one else will need to know. It will just be you and me. And we're going to get together and we're going to begin to break the inroads that the enemy has had. Or you can pretend that it's okay. But I'm telling you, church, the ultimate end is death. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would cause our eyes and our hearts to be open to what you're wanting to speak into our lives. Father, I pray that there would be a spirit of conviction that would come upon the men and women this morning, and that there would be a breaking of the strongholds, that they would come and they would speak forth the areas of bondage in their life. I pray, Lord God, that those men who come and join this group would find freedom in Jesus, and that they would know the power of the Word of God that can sever all of those bondages in their life. Father, help us to see that if we don't, where we go is into darkness. Father, we want to take this gift of sex and we want to use it according to the way you intended it to be used, Lord God, and not to be compromised and not to be diluted and not to be taken off on some tangent, but to live our lives and to fulfill one another in the bonds of marriage. I pray, Lord God, for every person that's here this morning that have heard these words, that you would reveal where the strongholds are, where the ruts have been dug in their minds and in their emotions, and that there can be a renewed emphasis upon you. It's in your name that we pray. Everyone said amen. If you have need of prayer, we have our prayer team up here. We want to invite you to come up for prayer. Otherwise, God bless you. Guys, make sure you go talk to me on roger@kcfchurch.org. God bless you. You're dismissed.